Luke chapter 14. I'm really excited about the commitments that are going to be made this day. Amen. This little card that the pastor mentioned. How many have given to missions using these cards before? Would you raise your hand? Okay. How many have never used these cards before? Would you raise your hand? Okay. Some of you never have. We hope that you'll grab one of these, take one of these, and fill it out and say, I'm making a commitment for 1 year. Every week I'm going to give so much money to missions. And the pastor's going to have all of these added up. And tonight we're going to see where the church is at on what they've committed to give to missions every week. And you know, the pastor mentioned something about the missions budget and how that what they had budgeted had not come in last year in totality. I want to encourage you to increase your commitment to the Lord. If you're giving 5 each week to missions, bump it up to 10, you know. Amen. If you're giving 20, bump it up to 40. If you're giving 100, give 150. Amen. If you're giving 200, go ahead and give 300. If you're giving 400 a week, just bump it up to 500. If you're giving 1,000, just keep on giving 1,000 and add another 1,000. Amen. Say amen right there. Yeah. Hey, listen, stretch your faith. Amen. Ask the Lord to use you in a way that you've never been used before. Some of you may, in the middle of the year, God may honor you and bless you with some extra finances. Give to that missions project. And you know, if a church, if its budget's being met every month, every week, then you can do special projects with extra money that comes in for missions. Wouldn't that be neat? Amen. To help build a church somewhere in a foreign country and send a missions group off to evangelize. And I'm telling you, what an opportunity we have. Let's stand together for the reading of God's Word. Luke chapter 14, I want to draw your attention to verse 15. Luke chapter 14. Beginning in verse 15. And when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he said unto him, Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God. Then said he unto him, A certain man made a great supper, and he bade many. And he sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground. I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. Have me excused. Another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came, and he showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said unto his servant, Go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, Go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. Lord, speak to us in these moments, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 You may be seated. The Great Supper. How many are hungry right now? Amen. All right, I'm not going to keep you long, so you got to listen strong, all right? The Great Supper. Can't wait to get to heaven, you know? There was a little boy sitting down on the front row of the church, and the pastor said, How many want to go to heaven? Boy, he grabbed his hand and he kept it right on his lap, and boy, he would not raise it. The pastor noticed it and he said, Son, don't you want to go to heaven? He said, Pastor, I thought you were getting a group up to go right now. And he had plans that afternoon, you know. But I'm looking forward to the great supper. I'm looking forward to being in heaven, aren't you? Oh, when I think of this great supper, I think of how expressive it's going to be. Can you imagine a table being stretched from sky to sky? Amen. Can't see the end of it either way. Can you imagine all of the people there enjoying the beautiful tablecloths and the candelabras and the china and the beautiful crystal. I can't imagine how wonderful it's going to be like. How wonderful it'll be. I know there'll be Italian food there because Cornelius of the Italian band's going to be there. Amen? Amen? So we know there'll be Italian food in heaven. I'm sure there'll be many other great dishes there. And the neat thing is that the Lord is going to serve us. Wow, can you imagine that? The joy of being in the presence of the Lord. Amen. Oh, I'll tell you what, I can hardly wait. The Bible says in Revelation 19:7, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, Amen. And His wife hath made herself ready. Aren't you glad that we are the bride of the Lord Jesus? Amen. He is the bridegroom. And we will be there together. The Bible says, and He said unto me, write, blessed are they that are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Oh, listen. And He said unto me, these are the true sayings of God. It's going to happen. I want you to think, not only is the great supper going to be expressive, but it's going to be expansive. There's going to be people there from every nation, every language. Every tribe, every people. Can you imagine the joy and the blessing that's going to be? No prejudice there.
Amen.
None at all.
Right.
It won't be a matter of the rich hanging out with the rich and the poor hanging out with the poor. We'll all be on level ground.
Amen.
In those days. Every nation, every people will be together to enjoy the things of God. It's going to be exclusive, though. The only people that are going to be there are those that have put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. The Bible says, let not your heart be troubled. Jesus speaking, He said, you believe in God? I'm sure that every one of us here would say, yes, I believe in God. Well, He said, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Oh, what a joy and thrill it's going to be. You know, Thomas said, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? And Jesus made that statement above all other statements. A very exclusive statement. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me.
Amen.
There's only one way to get to God, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no other way.
Right.
Oh, you say, well, there's many religions, and all the roads of religion lead to heaven. No, they don't. They do not.
That's right.
Jesus is the only one that was ever born of a virgin. He's the only one that ever lived a sinless life. He's the only one that has ever risen from the grave and then ascended up into heaven.
Amen.
He has qualifications all of His own.
Right.
Nobody can compare to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
And nobody can give us a home in heaven apart from the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You say, boy, that's very narrow-minded. Only as narrow as the Word of God is. I'd rather believe the Word of God than a lie, wouldn't you? I sure would hate to think. Somebody says to me, hey, what if you're wrong? Well, I have nothing to lose. What if you're wrong? You have everything to lose. For you to think that you could somehow, by your good outweighing your bad, that God, a holy, righteous God, would let you in, I don't think so. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved.
Amen.
And He was speaking of Himself.
Right.
The Bible says, whosoever was found, not found written in the book of life, was cast into the lake of fire. I had a lady come up to me in a church service where I was preaching this one time, and she was very upset. And she said, I can't believe that you would be so narrow-minded to think that you're the only religion that can go to heaven. I said, I never said that. I said, Jesus is the only way to heaven.
Right.
And there are people that are not Baptists that are saved.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let me tell you something. It's not a denomination. It's faith in Jesus Christ
right.
that saves a person and takes them from being a hell-bound sinner to a born-again believer with a home in heaven. Amen?
Amen.
And I got a good chance to witness to that lady. I think she left really thinking about where she was going to spend eternity. I want to tell you also, the Great Supper is going to be very exciting. The Bible says, we are confident, I say, and willing rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Oh, there's some sweet people that have gone on before me. I have a mother that's in heaven. Can't wait to see her. There's people that I pastored that were dear to me, very dear to me. I know where they are. I'll see them again. Oh, it's going to be exciting to be reunited with those that have gone on before us, you know. And then to see the Lord Jesus Christ. Think about it. Face to face, you're going to see the Lord Jesus. The Bible says, for the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them unto living fountains of water, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Oh, what a blessing. In Revelation chapter 2, verse 7, it says, and to him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Oh, listen, we're going to have an exciting time there. I heard the story of a couple that were up in their 90s. They both died within 3 days of each other. They got up to the beautiful pearly gates and they walked into that beautiful heaven, and they're investigating and searching around and seeing how beautiful it is, and they couldn't believe they both died almost at the same time, and they got to see how beautiful heaven was. They were just so thrilled, and he turned and he looked at his wife and he said, honey, if you hadn't fed me all that oatmeal, we would have been here a lot sooner. How many are looking to get out of here? Amen? I heard a fellow tell that story. I told my wife, I said, no more oatmeal, man. I want to get to heaven as quickly as possible, right? It's going to be a great supper. Hey, do you have your tickets? Are you ready to meet the Lord? If you were to die this very moment, where would you spend eternity? It's either heaven or hell. If you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and Him alone, not trusting in your own merit, not trusting in your good outweighing your bad, not trusting in who you think you are or who you think you ought to be considered as, if you come to God in simple faith, repenting of your sin and trusting Him as your Savior, He'll save your soul. I'll never forget, my dad said to me one day, he said, Daniel, I've never seen any indication that you're really saved. I was 14 years old. And I thought to myself, I've never seen any indication that I'm really saved either. And I went and got my Bible and I led myself to Christ there in the rocking chair in our cottage on Round Lake. I got saved.
Amen.
Man, I was excited. Later that day, I said, hey, Dad, guess what I did? And he said, what, son? I said, I got saved today. He said, we'll see. We'll see. He wanted to see evidence that proved that I was saved. There's a lot of people running around, they say they're saved. I don't think so.
You're right. Amen.
Let me tell you something. If you've got Christ living in here, He comes in, He takes over.
Amen.
And He directs your life and He leads you in the way that He wants you to go. You lose your rights. Your life's not your own anymore.
Right.
You're bought with a price. Therefore, since you're bought with a price, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Aren't you glad that when you get saved, you become His forever?
Amen.
What a thrill it is to know the Lord. Number two, I want you to notice in this passage the going servants. The going servants. In chapter 14, verse 17, the Bible tells us that he sent the servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. Then in verse 21, you'll see it says, so that servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out into the streets and the lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it has been done as thou hast commanded, and yet there's room. Then the Lord said, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. Let's talk about going servants for a minute. We don't have many going servants today. Most people come into God's house and they go out no different. God told us to be servants, going servants. Amen. Go out and bring them in. We talk about going out and bringing them in. Man, we have classes on personal evangelism and all kinds of things to talk about what we should do and how we should do it and what we should say and how we should say it, and yet we never go. Something wrong with that. I want you to notice the Lord sent, remember he chose the 12? He chose those 12 disciples and they ministered with him, but then he chose the 70. You remember when he chose the 70? There in Luke chapter 10. Then he chose the 12, or rather the 120. Then he told the people of his day, the believers of his day, to go out into all the world. Five times he mentions the Great Commission. He expects the Great Commission to be obeyed. You know what God's looking for? He's looking for going servants. You say, well, I would like to go, but man, I went one time and they didn't like me when I came to their door. Well, join the club. Sure. You say, well, people make excuses. Oh, yeah, well, that's why the Lord put that little story in here about people making excuses. Notice there was the materialistic person in verse 18. He said, I bought a piece of ground. I must needs go and see it. Have me excused. He was into materialism. He was into living for the things of this world. Nothing wrong with owning property. Nothing wrong with having nice things. But if it keeps you from God, it's become an idol. I want you to think of the workaholic there in verse 19. He said, I bought 5 yoke of oxen. I must go and prove them. Have me excused. Here's the workaholic, the man that doesn't have time to go to church. How many people do you know say, well, I can't go. I'd love to come to church with you, but I can't. I got to work. I can't imagine a person standing before the Lord one day and he'll say, why did you reject me as Savior? Oh, I had to work. I had to live for the things of this world instead of for eternal values. Oh, listen, when anybody tells you, well, I can't come because I have to work, tell them the story about the man that was too busy to come to the marriage and he missed it. Folks, there's a marriage supper coming. Don't miss it. We need to get out and tell people about the Lord and His coming. You know, the last group was a people pleaser. This man, he said he married a wife and she wouldn't let him come. No, that's not what it says. And another said, I have married a wife and therefore I cannot come. Now, I don't know what happened there, whether he married the wrong woman and she said, you ain't going. I mean, you married me, you ain't going. But he was consumed with this woman. He'd married a wife and he didn't have time to go or wouldn't go or she wouldn't let him go. You can interpret it any way you want, but many people will die and go to hell because they're people pleasers. Well, what would mother think? What would grandmother think? What would my husband think? What would my wife think? What would my parents think? What would my grandparents think? I'll tell you what, when it comes to your eternal destiny, there's only one person that makes a difference. And it's what God thinks. God wants to save your soul. God wants to keep you out of hell. The Bible says in Matthew 22, verse 4, again, he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxling and my fatling are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. But they made light of it. And they went their way, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and then slew them. There's going to be a reproach in taking a stand for Jesus Christ. But I'd rather stand for Jesus and be reproached.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes,
my stepmother was out in the front between Sunday school and church. I know she wouldn't want me to mention this, but she grabbed some traction. She's talking to people as they're walking by. That's the way it ought to be all the time around here.
Right.
Somebody ought to be out there on guard, man. You're not going to get by our church without a witness.
Amen.
We had a young boy that was called into the ministry. When this little boy came to our church, they were about ready to put him on Ritalin. And I said, why don't you put him in our Christian school? We'll give him some discipline. He never needed Ritalin.
Amen.
But boy, he was wound up for Jesus.
Amen,
Anne-Marie?
Amen.
Old Dan, buddy, I'm not kidding you. Between Sunday school and church, after church, Sunday morning, he'd be out there with a fistful of tracts. Our church was right on a corner. And let me tell you something. People were always walking by our place. And there happened to be a red light right there. Do I need to tell you any more of what he did? He had a captive audience. They weren't going to get out of their cars. And so he just came over and he'd give them a tract. That's a going servant. You know, somebody's going to be in heaven because of people like that. They say, I can't believe it. This person came right and just pushed their way right into my private life as I was sitting in my car. And they gave me a gospel tract and I got saved. Now I'm going to heaven because that little kid cared about my soul. I wonder how many people will be in heaven because of going servants. I don't think there'll be anybody in heaven that wasn't in heaven unless they came across a going servant. It was my father that told me he hadn't seen any indication that I was saved. That's the only reason I got saved. He butted his nose into my life, and I was saved. Every one of us here have a story of a going servant. Somebody came into your life, and they told you about Jesus. And you're here today. Some of you probably can't even believe you. I can't believe I'm sitting in an independent Baptist church this morning, listening to the Word of God being preached. If you told me I was doing that, I would be doing that 10 years ago, I'd have told you you were crazy. But somebody met me and told me about Jesus. And I will be forever in heaven at the marriage supper of the Lamb because there was a going servant. I remember reading the story, one of the greatest books I've ever read. In fact, I would say it's my favorite book on reaching people for Christ. It's the life of Uncle John Vassar. Uncle John Vassar lived in Poughkeepsie, New York, just about 17 to 20 miles from where I pastored for 23 years in Peekskill, New York. Uncle John owned a brewery with his cousin, and his mother prayed him out of the brewery business. And he ended up getting saved, and he really felt like God wanted him to do something more than just live his life and work in the secular world. And so he contacted the American Tract Society, or the American Bible Society, in Manhattan. He went down there and was interviewed, and they said, all right, we need coal porters. These are people that take books and Bibles and go out into communities and sell them. And so they said, we'll give you so much money, and then you'll work on a commission basis. And so he went out and started doing that. He'd go into a town like Tampa. He'd rent himself a room, and all day long he would knock doors and sell Bibles and dictionaries and concordances and biographies. And he would at every single door, after he talked them about his books, he would ask them about their soul. He won hundreds, probably thousands of people to Christ. It's amazing. He was in this little town, and every little town back in those days had a potbelly stove in the middle of the store. And people would hang around there in the wintertime, and they'd whittle and talk and gossip and whatnot. He walked into that little store one day, and this man said to him, are you Uncle John Vassar? He said, yes, I am. He said, well, there was a woman in here a few minutes ago, and she said, if you come by here, her door, she'll give you a piece of her mind. He said, where'd you say she lived? And so he went down to her house. He had no fear. You know, when you're clothed in the righteousness of God, you don't really worry about what anybody else thinks. Man, he knocked on her door. Well, she was ready for him. She opened up that door, and buddy, she let him have it. I don't think you have any right coming into our town and disturbing everybody and talking to them about their souls. That's a private matter. And with that, she slammed the door. Well, he was like, wow. So he sat down on her stairs and he started singing. But drops of grief could ne'er repay the debt of love I owe. Dear Lord, I give myself away. 'Tis all that I can do. Amen. I don't know whether she was looking through the keyhole or not, but that next Sunday she was down at the church getting right with God. Amen. Pretty neat, huh? You want to have an exciting life? Be a witness. You want to have an exciting life? Go with God. You want to have an exciting life? Tell people about what Jesus Christ has done for you. We have a personal evangelism class at our college in our evening school of the Bible, and I was telling them, when somebody's passing you by and they say, "Hey, how you doing?" Tell them. Yeah. They say, "How you doing?" Say, "Oh, I'm so glad I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. How about you?" Yeah. Man, let's get bold for God. We're bold for everything else. Let's get bold for God. Let's be going servants. Let's tell somebody how they can be brought out of darkness into His marvelous light. And then the third thing. Not only do we see the great supper and the going servants, but thirdly we see the grievous surprise. You'll notice in verse 21 the Bible says, "So that servant came and he showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house," this is speaking of the Lord, "became angry and said unto his servant, Go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind." I want you to notice that the master of the house became angry. I call this the grievous surprise. Folks, I want to tell you something. Church, in this missions conference, there's going to be a grievous surprise one day to all the people that you never reached. I remember one Sunday morning, one of the ladies of our church came up to me and she said, "Pastor, there's a man dying up at the Peekskill Hospital. Would you go see him?" "Sure, be glad to do that." That Wednesday night came and Helen Kingsley came into church. She said, "Pastor, did you go see that man up at the Peekskill Hospital?" I said, "Oh, sister, I've been so busy, I didn't get up there. I'll make sure I get up there." She came in on Sunday morning. This is 7 days later now. She said, "Pastor, did you get to see that man dying up there at the hospital?" I said, "No, I haven't. I really need to get up there." She goes, "Yeah, you do." That afternoon, I went up, walked into his room. His name was still on the card down at the desk. I walked up into the room, and there was nobody in the room. The bed, a lady was just making the bed. I said, "Where's so-and-so?" She said, "Oh, he died this morning." Oh, man. It hit me. Here I was fooling around all week, doing things I thought were important. And I very well could have sent a person out into eternity lost. I went home and this was before I was married. I'd just become pastor of a church. I had a Bible college student that I rented a room of the parsonage to, and I came walking in and I was crying. I sat down. Tim said to me, "What's wrong?" I said, "I was supposed to go see a man that was dying and I put it off. And this morning when I went into the hospital room, he had died that morning." And you know, Tim tried to make an excuse to make me feel better. No. There are sometimes there's no excuse. Correct? The grievous surprise is that man may have woke up in hell when he could have woken up in heaven. Now you say, "Well, that's God's business." Well, I know it is. And maybe somebody else listened to the still small voice of the Holy Spirit and did what the Holy Spirit told them to do and got to that person before they died. That's not my business. What my business is to tell people about Jesus Christ so that they don't have to experience a grievous surprise. Wouldn't that be awful? For you to think that you're going to heaven and then wake up in hell? God help us. You know, we're so concerned that the missionaries win the lost. What about you? Since when has a missionary become more important than a church member? I don't think we're going to see much success on the mission field till we start seeing some success back at the house. Amen. Listen, God wants to use you. Because there's a grievous surprise coming. There have been people that have been standing, in a sense, standing outside the gates of glory, that close to getting saved. And yet they ended up in hell. There have been those that have been standing at the gates of hell, about ready to fall into hell. And yet somebody got them. Somebody told them about the grievous surprise. And instead of going to hell, they ended up going to heaven. Isn't that wonderful? Wouldn't you love to be responsible for bringing people to the Lord Jesus? Wouldn't you like to be able to say, you know, George and Henry and Judy and Gail are all going to be in heaven because I was a going servant? How long has it been since you've won someone to the Lord Jesus? It's bothering me right now that I haven't won somebody for a while. Just before college started, we were out in New Mexico. There was a man sitting on the back pew. He looked a bit disheveled. My wife said to me, "Dan, he's not saved. Why don't you go ask him if he's saved?" Don't you love when people tell you what to do? So being the good, obedient husband that I am, under deep conviction, sent forth by my dear wife, by the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank God somebody's motivating somebody to do something for the Lord. I go over to that man. I said, "Sir, have you ever accepted Jesus Christ, your Savior?" He said, "Yes, I have." I thought, got that over. Got up to preach. Before I preached, the girls sang. We had four girls travel with Anna Marie and I all summer. They got up and sang. And it was interesting. The whole summer, I had the girls give their testimony every time they sang. This man's in the back seat crying as the girls are giving their testimony and singing. I even called my wife up and had her give her testimony a number of times this summer. She'd been saved at age 24. She grew up in a Roman Catholic home, and she played the guitar in the folk masses but had never been saved. And she got up and gave her testimony. This man's back there crying. I preached on the conversion of Saul of Tarsus. When the invitation was given, he came to the altar, this fellow. So I came down. One of the men of the church was going to deal with him, and he said, "Why don't you deal with him?" So I went over to him, and he's got tears running down his cheeks onto the carpet. I said, "Why'd you come?" He said, "I need to get saved." I said, "Do you know you're lost?" He said, "I sure do." I could smell the alcohol on his breath. I said, "You've got a problem with alcohol, don't you?" He said, "Yes." I said, "Well, Jesus can save you from alcohol and give you a home in heaven." Amen. And boy, he got excited. He prayed, asked the Lord to save him. He couldn't wait to go over to the young ladies and tell them what he had done. He said, "I should have gotten saved a long time ago." Oh, he got saved. Amen. That was exciting. Yes. But you know what? I want to see it happen again. Amen. Don't you? You know, if you ever get an opportunity to win someone to Christ, you're going to want to see somebody else get saved. Amen. And it's like God puts within your heart. I'm talking to you church members. God puts within your heart a desire to talk to people about the Lord. Amen. And let me tell you something, the older you are, the bolder you ought to be. Amen. 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 Don't you be afraid of anybody. And tell people about Jesus Christ. Tell them about the great surprise. The grievous surprise. Tell them about the great supper. Let them know that you're a going servant for Jesus' sake. Let's pray together. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, how many of you are ready for the great supper? You've accepted Christ as your Savior. Would you raise your hand? Amen. Wonderful. Looking forward to it. It's going to be great. Maybe there's someone here this morning that would say by the uplifted hand, you know, Brother Knickerbocker, I'm not totally sure I'm going to heaven. Oh, I've been to church many times and I know all about God, but I know what Jesus did for me. But honestly, to this morning, I'm not sure if I died this very moment that I would go to heaven. And I'd like somebody to show me from the Bible how I can be 100% sure I'm going to heaven. I'm not sure. Would you slip your hand up and put it back down? I will not embarrass you. But you say, I'm not sure. I want to get it settled today. Anybody? Would there be one person that needs to be saved here today? Is there anyone at all? Oh, Jesus loves you and wants to save you. How many of you Christians have not been the going servants you ought to be? Would you slip your hand up? Be honest. Yes, many of us. I'm not the going servant I ought to be. You may put your hands down. We're going to have the pianist softly play, and I'd like us all to stand. I want you to come this morning.